You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome everybody. It is now 6 minutes currently after the hour. The Good Doctor here back in the seat today for Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Tom will be back tomorrow, my friends, so definitely tune in. But for today's purposes, let us start out, Eric, by giving out the Freedom Line, the number, the 866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. You guys can call in at any time. We try to keep the Freedom Lines open throughout the entire 3 hours of the program so that you can opine about your thoughts of the day. We do not discriminate, Eric. We all comers, right? Doesn't matter if you're from the left or the right or anywhere in between.
That's what you're always saying, Mike.
That's what we're always saying.
That's what you're always doing.
And that's what we're always
doing. You're a man of your word.
So you didn't watch the Super Bowl yesterday, did you?
I did not.
You did not. Well, there was a big delay. Did you hear about that?
After the halftime show?
Yeah, there was like a 34-minute delay, power outage. Only half the field was out.
It's Beyonce's fault from what I'm reading.
That's what they're saying. They said it might be from the performance of Beyonce?
Yeah, she was lip-syncing again.
Wow, it's interesting. I don't know, maybe it was some of the advertisers. Maybe they wanted to sort of protract it so you get that extra 34 minutes and you get to put your ads in. I'm sure if the game were to go overtime or something, they have a backup plan, right?
I'm sure if the conservatives were in charge, that's exactly what happened.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about conservatism today, too, Eric, because there's many issues in the news that have sort of at its heart what conservatism's all about. And it might seem as though these things are not related, but in reality, they are. For instance, I don't think I was talking to you about this, but did you hear about this guy in Alabama? What is it? Midland City, Alabama, I think is where it is. This 66-year-old guy who commandeered a school bus with a gun and basically told the bus driver that he wanted hostages. And the bus driver refused, and 21 kids were able to escape through the back emergency exit of the school bus, but one kid got taken hostage, and then this man shot the bus driver 4 times and killed him with a gun. And took
Assault weapon, Mike, or was it a handgun?
Well, I don't know.
That's what kills most people, are handguns.
I'm not sure what the gun was, but apparently this is where it all relates to conservatism, though, because this guy takes this 5-year-old kid, okay, and he had a bunker already built 4 feet beneath the ground, and I think it was like an 8-foot by 6-foot bunker as far as, you know, the square footage beneath it. So, and he takes the 5-year-old kid into the bunker and holds him hostage. Now, the reason that this guy is doing it, and this is where it gets really crazy, and this is where, you know, conservatism really is almost, as a doctor, I feel it's almost like an illness, a disease, because they take something to the ultimate fanatical extreme, and it's usually the opposite of what they're espousing, what they really want to see. So this guy, from all accounts that we know of right now, he's an anti-government survivalist. So that puts him in the very, very far right-wing kooky, almost, you know, the Tea Partiers and people. Jimmy Lee Dykes is his name, and they can't stand government, right? They hate government. And for what I understand about this guy, he has a property out there in Alabama, Eric, and he is very, very territorial about his property. I mean, to the point where one time even a dog innocently, unknowingly walked onto his property, and according to neighbor accounts, he literally beat the living daylights out of the dog and killed it, like beat it to death, just because the dog happened to walk on this guy's property. So this is what I'm telling you. So you get conservatives, right? They believe in what? Liberty, freedom, independence, the right to privacy, the right to private property.
Well, he definitely took the privacy thing seriously.
Right. So here you got this, and it's very sad because this 5-year-old kid is sick too. He's got Asperger's syndrome. He's got attention deficit disorder. So clearly, you know, there's a lot at stake here. I mean, this kid's, you know, apparently getting his medicine through an exhaust pipe that the guy has coming out, or some type of, not an exhaust pipe, a ventilation pipe, I should say.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
No, an exhaust pipe won't work, but a ventilation pipe. But here you got a guy who hates his government, okay? He hates his government, and he believes ardently in private property, okay? So from my perspective, if that's what you truly believe, then why would you take the ultimate private property, which is somebody's body, your own person?
Life. He took the other guy's life.
Right. Take away that kid's freedom and liberty, incarcerate him, and then demand that you want a forum in the public venue to espouse your anti-government survivalist viewpoints and your far-right fanatical political viewpoints. So, again, there's other things that I'm going to talk about today, but this is so typical. Everywhere you turn and you listen to conservatives, you see the things that they are most fervent about are usually the opposite when it comes to them practicing it in their own private lives. Look, we talked about this last week, Eric, with all the stuff with the women and the rape and all these laws, and I'll get to some of these a little bit later too, but all the bills that are being proposed as laws throughout the country where if a woman is raped, okay, and she gets pregnant as a result of that rape, then guess what? Know what that woman has to do? Have the baby.
Right.
Right. So here you are, you have a philosophy, if you will, that talks about the right to privacy, the right as of you as an individual to have your privacy and to not have anyone, any entity, any state, any government to infringe upon that sacrosanct thing to pursue life, liberty, and happiness.
The right to have your children come home unharmed from school.
Right. So anyway, this is what sort of underlies the things that I want to talk about. And then the other thing, too, the big gun issue that's out there, and you know that that's a big hot topic right now, but Wayne LaPierre, he was on all the talk shows throughout the weekend and was on Fox News with Chris Wallace, and I don't know if you heard about that exchange and what happened there, but apparently the NRA, Eric, had come out with an ad, and this ad was, in essence, taking pot shots at President Barack Obama's children because they happened to get high-level security being the children of the president of the United States.
And that ad played during the Super Bowl.
I think there was an ad, yeah, in the Super Bowl, and I have an excerpt of it here. But Wayne LaPierre's whole point of view was that, hey, if the president's kids have a right to have Secret Service security, then why shouldn't every child in this country have the same right if they're going to school and have Secret Service and have armed security guards, et cetera. So Chris Wallace,
can't see the difference between the two, can he?
No. Like, in other words, when you're a high-profile person like that, your children are targets. There's going to be nutballs and fanatics and
adversaries. Whether it's for ransom or because they don't like you.
Right, exactly. So I think every normal person, Eric, understands, look, that's par for the course. Anytime that you have a celebrity, anytime you have somebody who sits in high public office or has a high profile, those people, they themselves usually get pretty tight security, but also their families, their spouses or their children also get that same type of security. Look, and I don't have a problem with that. I don't know if you have a problem with that.
I have no problem with that.
No.
I mean, come on, they could kidnap one of President Obama's children and hold the world hostage.
Right, and hold the entire world hostage for that. So it makes a lot of sense. But see, this was the argument that Wayne LaPierre was trying to make with Chris Wallace. And believe it or not, on Fox News, Eric, Chris Wallace was to have none of it. He absolutely have none of it. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about this case here with Jimmy Lee Dykes, the anti-government survivalist now who was holding this kid hostage, 5-year-old kid in Midland. Where is it? It's in Midland City,
Midland,
I think.
City.
Midland City, Alabama, because there's a Midland, Texas, too. So this is in Midland City, Alabama. But also, another ironic twist on this whole gun debate. We talked about the gun issues last week and regulation and where the majority of the American people are totally behind common sense gun laws. But did you hear about the Navy SEAL over the weekend?
Yeah, I got killed.
Yeah, the Navy SEAL. Because you know what Wayne LaPierre said? He said, you know, the only thing that you need to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Well, this guy, not only was he a good guy with
a hero.
He was a Navy SEAL sniper. He had, like, more kills. Like, I think they even said he had a record. I didn't think they keep records for that. But he had a record for kills in Iraq, which is kind of silly. I don't know. Why would you keep records? Like, that's kind of strange.
Everybody likes to keep records, man.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he had one of the highest number of kills on record in Iraq as a marksman, as a sniper. But yet, this man was killed on a shooting range in Texas with another former combat soldier by a Marine guy who they were trying to help who had post-traumatic stress disorder. So, any case, 15 minutes after the hour, the phone number, 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman. All righty, welcome back. 20 minutes after the hour, Mike Newcomb sitting in here today for Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman program. Tom will be back tomorrow, my friends. But in the interim, we have the Freedom Lines open right now at 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the whole concept of conservatism, and yet they say they're for liberty, they're for freedom, they're for individuality, but yet when push comes to shove, we see that they say certain things, they speak very loudly and fervently about it, but usually what they're espousing, they're against the very same things that we're talking about. And the examples we've given up thus far in the first segment was about this guy, Jimmy Lee Dykes, who is an anti-government survivalist who was very, very territorial about his own private property, has some very, you know, dark views apparently about the federal government, and he wants to use this platform to talk about his views. And so what he decided to do was take his gun, once again, crazy people with guns, took a gun, went into Midland, Alabama, on a school bus, commandeered the bus, shot the bus driver four times, killed him, took a five-year-old kid hostage, and then took the kid into his own home, in his private home area, in a bunker that he had created, and now has held this kid hostage for days because he wants to talk about his anti-government view. So, again, Eric, I was talking about this before with you offline. When's the last time do you see sort of the pro-government liberals, you know, going into school buses, kidnapping people because they want to talk about, you know, we want more government in our lives. We want more food stamps and more health care. You don't see it happening on the left.
No, that doesn't happen.
You never see some pro-radical government person on the left taking kids hostage, killing people, you know, doing the crazy stuff that you see right-wingers do all over and over and over again. I mean, a lot of these other killings, too, when you talk about Jared Loughner, which happened here in Tucson,
yeah,
you know, with Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, you know, in our own backyard, Jared Loughner had some very bizarre, disturbed, anti-government views. And remember what happened, though, in that case, and many people might not remember, this is when Sarah Palin and her group, her GOPAC or something along those lines, took a crosshairs and took certain elected officials and put crosshairs on their district on a map of the United States.
Including hers.
Including Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. And then she put a quote on there, something to the effect where,
take aim.
Yeah. Don't retreat, reload.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
Something like that, right? It was like,
something
don't,
really
yeah,
bad.
Don't retreat, reload. So you're putting a crosshairs on an elected official, a Democratic elected official's, you know, precinct or congressional district, and then putting inflammatory rhetoric up there, don't retreat, reload, and then you get some anti-government person taking issues into your own hands, like Jared Loughner, who also had mental illness, too. And I think this is a big part of this gun debate, too, because I don't think you can divorce mental illness from the gun debate as well. And I think the two have to be addressed simultaneously, Eric, because, look, even as a doctor, I am well aware of the HIPAA laws and the privacy protection and making sure that people's medical records are confidential. But by the same token, if somebody has mental illness and that is a very important piece of information for authorities to know, gun registries. For the public at large. Because if you got somebody with mental illness who is showing signs of aggressive behavior, disturbing or psychotic behavior, then those people really should not have access to a gun. Or if they do get access, there should be a process through which they have to go through, Eric, through a certified psychiatrist that says, guess what? Yeah, because not everybody with mental illness should not have a gun.
All of them are homicidal maniacs.
No, exactly, exactly. So I'm not saying everybody with mental illness should
be
prohibited. What's that?
Nothing.
No.
Continue, sir.
Continue onwards. So anyway, I'm going to get to some of these tapes on, but I want to get some of the calls in right now. So let me just go down the list here. Let's see who we got? Let me see. I can't even read this stuff. Okay. I'm just going to go to Roosevelt. I'm going to go to Roosevelt here from Louisiana. Roosevelt, welcome.
Hello. What's going on?
Hey, every day's a blessing.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Oh, all right. No, I'm waiting for you. You called us.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you're live on the air now.
You said that conservatives and that right wing extremists,
right?
But they divide them in the groups. I think the Republican Party is all extreme. There's
right.
No, this right wing, number two right wing, or extremists, and the number three, it's all extremists.
Well, I'll tell you,
it's the day the
It's when I was watching the presidential election and the Republican primary, I'm pretty convinced, Roosevelt, that if those were the 8 or 9 candidates that the Republican Party wanted to put up to be their next president of the United States of America, and if you watched any of those primary debates, every one of those candidates was extreme in one way or another. And really, that's the only way that you could become a contender in the Republican Party. I mean, you have to go to the primary and you have to be extremely radical in your conservative viewpoints to the point where now it's very difficult for them to start winning general elections, and that's why they want to start rigging things.
And they're not going to win because, like I say, just think about if Obama had what this guy from Texas did, Rick Perry, had a black rock in at his gate and talking about this nigga or whatever, you know.
Right.
So now if Obama had did that, he would have never won the presidency.
No, and then what you're talking about, too, I recall that, because there was a ranch that he went hunting at, Rick Perry, which was called Nigger something. I forget what it was.
It was an awful name.
But it was the N-word, and look, we can use that word because it is offensive, and people should understand that what it really said. It was on a big rock somewhere, and it didn't bother him, though, right, Roosevelt? I mean, Rick Perry, who was, he's governor of Texas, and he was willing to go out there and basically hunt on a ranch like that with that kind of statement on a big rock. I mean, that's ridiculous. Well, listen, Roosevelt, we appreciate it. Eric's going to be looking up things right now. We're going to get to the other Freedom Lines here in a quick second. Again, let me give you those numbers. 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. What did you say, Eric? You looked it up?
Yeah, it was Nigger Head Ranch.
Did you say that, or are you telling me off air?
I am telling you live on air.
On air? No, no. So it was called Nigger Head Ranch.
That's correct.
And that's where an aspiring Republican candidate for presidency.
I have a really hard time saying that.
Right. And then that's where he goes hunting, right? And you're saying, this is why Roosevelt's saying they're all extreme. Because, look, if that's what your presidential candidates are doing, then, everything's going to go downstream from there. It's trickle on down politics. Back in a moment.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman, who will be back tomorrow. All righty, welcome back. 34 minutes after the hour. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman. Today you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. The Freedom Lines are open, 1-866-987-8466. Let's go first to Nick, listening on 820 AM in Elmhurst, Illinois. Nick, what's on your mind today?
Hello there, Doc. Dr.
Hello.
Mike, right?
That is me.
Yeah, great. Doc, the subject I want to talk about is debt-free sound money. But before I make any further comments, I want to mention, it seems like most of the time when I listen to any kind of talk radio, mm-hmm. the subject matter that is being discussed basically fans the flames that divide us. Mm-hmm. As a nation, we're all Americans, and we seem to be listening to talk that basically causes us to be divided among ourselves.
But let me ask you this. Give me an example. You listened today for a half an hour of this program. What have I said that's looking to divide? I'm looking to bring people together. What I'm talking about is the divisive rhetoric coming from the fanatics on the right and these people who say they're quote-unquote conservatives who embrace liberty and freedom, and they don't. They're the complete opposite. And I think it's our patriotic duty to call people out when they say they're for liberty and freedom, the Constitution, when in reality they're the complete opposite. So I don't think I'm fanning any flames. If anything, I'm trying to fan the flames of freedom and independence. And truth and
well,
justice.
Don't misunderstand me. Everybody thinks that what they're attempting to do has merit, but the final analysis, it fans the flames of what divides us. Why did I say that? Because when we talk about guns, let's just say, mm-hmm. as an example, don't forget, this is not really why I called.
Okay.
But guns are not going to disappear. Period. I mean, this country of ours, with the people out west that I have relatives out west, and they hunt and they fish and they use guns responsibly. And by the way, the main subject that should be discussed when it comes to guns is medications that affect people badly, even though, you know, there's all sorts of unintended consequences, and I'm afraid the pharmaceutical companies come up with things
that cause people to
commit suicide and bring other people along with them to their graves.
Well, look, I'm not necessarily disagreeing you with that too, because you listen to these medications and the side effects are just crazy when you hear them on the commercials.
Right. Well, let's move on to my subject. My subject is basically, let's just say, don't forget, my subject is sound money that is debt-free sound money. Now, you don't have to be a conservative or a liberal or a libertarian to appreciate the fact that when you earn money, it's not supposed to lose value while it sits in the bank. It's not supposed to be subject to whatever the whims are of those who know how to manipulate monopoly money, which is what we have. Monopoly money is fiat paper money.
All right, I don't want to cut you off, buddy, but you're going way too off on a tangent right there, and I don't think it's really germane to what we're talking about right now, and I don't want to bore our listeners to death with that soliloquy there. So I'm just going to, you know, respectfully cut you off there. I pulled the cord.
He can call back when we are talking about worldwide debt-free money.
You know, at that point, I just, you know, I can't handle that. All right, let me give you the number, 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. Let's get back to some of the other listeners here. We got Noah, who's listening on FSTV, and he's out in Madison, Wisconsin. So let's welcome Noah to the table. How are you, Noah?
I'm great, Mike. Good to be with you.
Likewise. Listen, it looks like you comment say you want to talk about libertarian philosophy.
Yeah, libertarian philosophy. I'd like to discuss that a little bit. I like to point out that the majority of libertarians that I've spoken with are small government, if not non-existent government, but at the same time, pro-private property, which seems to me prima facie absurd. Let me just explain this. Governments create private property through legal fictions. Without governments, there is no private property. Unless we're all just trying to shoot each other to keep what we have. Let me give you another example, though.
I saw this once and I thought it was very interesting. Do you know that the human species is the only species on planet Earth that actually charges people to live somewhere?
Oh, yeah.
Think about that for a second. I mean, that means every other species of living organism on this planet doesn't charge itself to live. So lions and insects and, you know, and whales and whatnot.
I think there's a real estate market there, Mike.
But that's what I'm saying. We're supposed to be the most advanced species on Earth, but yet we are the only species that charges each other and takes a ransom and extracts money to actually live on the planet Earth, which I find a little bit bizarre, to be honest with you. But anyway, Noah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you make a good point, and that's pretty consistent with what I'm talking about. Let's take the Koch brothers, for example. They're self-proclaimed libertarians.
Right.
And yet the charter of their corporation, Koch Industries, was created by the government. Now, they didn't create all that wealth on their own through this system of voluntarism or peaceful anarchism that I've heard described by some libertarians. They accumulated that wealth through the system of private property and the corporate charters, which are created by the government.
Right.
Our government. So I hope there's a lot of libertarians out there who can explain this philosophy to me in a way that I can understand.
That's
not contradictory.
Well, listen, look, what I'm going to do, I'm going to let you go right now because we do have a lot of libertarians actually here in our own state, Arizona, and I'm sure they'd be interested to comment that. So I want to open up a freedom line at 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. And then I'm going to get to some of these other issues too, Eric, and some of the audio that we have of Wayne LaPierre, the CEO, the executive vice president of the National Rifle Association, and some of his comments that he expressed on the Chris Wallace show on Fox over the weekend, because that's obviously out there on the internet right now. A lot of people, you know, giving kudos to Chris Wallace for calling Wayne LaPierre to the carpet about his comments that President Barack Obama's children have Secret Service and high security. Why shouldn't every other child, you know, have that as well?
That is a ridiculous comment.
Well, that would mean
that guy leads that big organization. And you know, that's the stuff he says.
He gets like $900,000 a year as his salary to lead that organization. That's a lot of.
I'm surprised it's not more, to be honest with you.
I mean, that's crazy if you think about it. But yeah, so what are we supposed to do? Then have armed security guards, Secret Service detail for every child everywhere they go? Because that's what happens with the Obama kids too, right? If they go to a mall, they have the secret security detail.
They absolutely have to have that, and not every kid needs that.
No, nor would any kid want that. I mean, imagine what that's like for the Obama girls to actually, you know, have to be tailed by somebody. You have no privacy. You have no individuality. I mean, you're constantly being, you know, followed by somebody who's looking after your security. But, you know, that's a tough way to live too. It's not like somebody, like everybody wants that, Eric, like to live like that. So any case, it's crazy, 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 crazy. But we are going to go to the audio tape in a second. But let me get a call in here before we do that. Let's go next to Matt listening on 760 AM in Denver, Colorado, Rocky Mountain High. What's up there, Matt?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. You wanted to comment on the Chris Kyle thing. I didn't get into it too much, but he's the ex-Navy SEAL who sadly was assassinated, shot dead at a shooting ranch in Texas over the weekend.
You know, it kind of sounded, and I'm very, very pro-gun. It kind of sounded to me like you were headed down the road of saying, if they are so well trained, why weren't they able to protect themselves?
No, that's
I never heard that.
My point was that Wayne LaPierre made this big push to say that the only thing that's going to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And in this case, obviously, I consider Chris Kyle a good guy. And not only a good guy with a gun, but a good guy who is highly, highly skilled in utilizing a gun. He was, you know, one of the best snipers that we've had in the military. He's got records for the number of kills in Iraq. So, I mean, this is a guy who knew how to handle guns, but yet still was, you know, basically shot dead.
Right. And, you know, I just wanted to offer up a scenario of why that could happen, how that could happen. I mean, obviously he was, I don't know if it was his profession to help these guys with PTSD, or if he was just volunteering, but he was giving his time to these guys that were coming back from war.
Correct.
And, obviously he had worked with this individual who was later arrested, prior. So imagine yourself at a gun range and somebody approaches you. Not a big deal. You've met this person before. You don't think they're a threat, and they surprise you. I mean,
no. Actually, the mother, from what I understand, the guy's last name was Ralph, I think, and the mother reached out to Chris Kyle because she knew of the work that you had alluded to that he was doing, that he was actually helping, you know, people who were coming back from combat who have post-traumatic stress disorder, and he was being a good guy trying to help. So this guy's mother reached out to Chris Kyle and actually set up, I think, the meeting. Which is kind of sad. Listen, Matt, I got to run here. Do you have any other comments, or is that it?
I could explain libertarian.
I'll put you on hold here. You're listening to the Tom Hartman program. This is Dr. Mike Newcomb. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom today, who will be back tomorrow. Okay, welcome back. 50 minutes after the hour. We're going to get to the Freedom Lines in a second. But, Eric, let's play this clip here. I want to go to this clip of Chris Wallace, Fox News host, on Sunday, I believe it was, and Wayne LaPierre from the NRA. And it just was amazing sitting down listening to this and the fact that Wayne LaPierre would make the comments that he did. So I'll just go to the tape and then we'll go from there. You ready?
Yep.
All right, let's go for the tape.
A couple of weeks ago, the NRA started running an ad that created a great deal of controversy. Here's a clip.
Are the president's kids more important than yours? Then why is he skeptical about putting armed security in our schools when his kids are protected by armed guards at their school?
Mr. LaPierre, do you regret putting up that ad?
The point of that ad was this. It wasn't picking on the president's kids. The president's
it mentions them.
The president's kids are safe, and we're all thankful for it. The point of that
ad... They also face a threat that most children do not face.
Tell that to the people in Newtown. Tell that to the people...
You really think that the president's children are the same kind of target as every school child in America?
I think
it's... That's ridiculous, and you know it, sir.
Unfortunately, I think there are parents all over the school that think, all over the country, that think their kids are entitled to the same amount of protection when they go to school, and they want their kids to be safe.
So they should have Secret Service?
No, but what they should have is police officers or certified armed security in those schools to keep people safe. If something happens, the police time is, despite all their good intentions, is 15 to 20 minutes. It's...
Know what you need in schools? Nuns. That's what I had back when I was
That's
in school.
That's what I had, too.
You didn't need armed security.
You just needed a long stick.
You needed a nun with a big ruler, you know, who would paddle your butt and beat the crap out of you if you were out of line.
Maybe that's what the world needs again.
Well, I know. I'm not advocating that for the kids. But that's what we had back then. They were not armed security. There were people with black habits who, you know, were menacing. And, you know, you just didn't mess with the nuns.
It's too long. It's not going to help those kids. Certified armed security in schools, just like happened.
But that isn't going to protect them in the shopping mall, in the movie theater, on the street.
I mean, which is why we need to do everything else I'm talking about. Let's enforce the federal gun laws, which we do not need to do now, against gangs with guns, felons with guns. My gosh, in the shadow of where we're sitting right now, gangs are out there in Washington, D.C. You can buy drugs, you can buy guns. They are trafficking in 15-year-old girls.
I understand there are lots of problems out there, and this isn't going to solve all
of them. Our government is letting them.
But you can't say that, first of all, the gangs don't commit the mass murders. Adam Lanza wasn't a member of a gang. James Holmes was not a member of a gang. You talk.
Right. Jared Loughner was not a member of a gang.
Right. All those guys.
But see, this is what I'm telling you. I give Chris Wallace all the credit in the world because this little segment that we're playing for you, he got him on every single point because, he was trying to make it out. First of all, in the backyard, D.C. I mean, of course, you know what the composition of Washington, D.C. residents is, like 90% African-American. So he's trying to make it out like it's the black gangsters that are out there are the ones who are solely responsible for gun trafficking. And this wasn't our own federal government involved in gun trafficking to Mexico part of an undercover operation?
They've probably done that a million times without even being found out.
But it has nothing to do with the, you know, black youth in D.C., which is what he was trying to make it out to be, Wayne LaPierre. Every one of these mass killings, Columbine, were those black gang members from Washington, D.C.?
Two white guys.
No, there was
white
more than
teenagers.
Two. Wasn't there more than two?
No, in Columbine, it was Eric Klebold or something, and one other guy.
But like he said, Adam Lanza, Jared Loughner down in Tucson, another guy who was not involved with gangs, lone gunman. So this whole concept that they're, you know, gang-related bloods and
you
Crips.
You need to protect your school from the gangs.
Right, from the gangs. Like, they're the ones who are solely responsible for this.
One of the points of that ad that I want to ask you about.
And what about the gangs in the old days, like Little Rascals? They never really,
That was our gang.
That was our gang. But see, how come
not
gangs,
their gang? That was
how come
ours.
They can't be like that nowadays? Gangs. I mean, those were nice gangs with good personalities.
Different days, Mike.
Yeah, a little mischievous, but yeah, the times are a changing, no question about it.
Is you made it a class argument? The rich, the elite.
Sure.
They have bodyguards.
Sure.
They have security.
Sure. And Mayor Bloomberg has it. Mayor Bloomberg has bodyguards.
I'll tell you, somebody else who has security. You do.
Sometimes we've had
elitist.
Doesn't he carry his own weapons?
I mean, you talk about hypocrisy right on the open. We've had all kinds of threats come.
Does that make
you
an elite, an out of touch elite, because you have security?
I don't deny anybody the right to security
He's
when they need it. What
Chris
I'm
Wallace.
Saying is, it is ridiculous, Chris, for all the elites and all the powerful and privileged, the titans of industry, to send their kids to schools where there's armed security, to have access to semi-automatic technology, to have access
First of all, I don't know anybody who has armed. I don't know anybody elites who send their kids. My children went to the same school that the Obama children went to many years ago. There were no armed security there.
The schools
tanks
in the country
there.
Already have armed
I understand
security.
That, but this idea of an elite class. It's just nonsense.
Right,
Capitol
the snipers
Hill
in the
right
Citadel
they're
wall.
They're all protected by armed security with high-cap magazines while they sit there and they try to limit the average citizen to 10 because they think that's reasonable in their opinion.
All right. I think he schooled Wayne LaPierre there. What did you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean every point.
Point by point.
And it's crazy. It's like, you know what would happen? Only the rich schools would have armed guards. What about the other poor kids and, you know,
But that was his point, Chris Wallace, is that guess what? Even at the quote-unquote elite universities or schools throughout this country, they're not armed guards everywhere. If you go to – look, I've been down to Harvard and whatnot. There's not snipers on, you know, the bell towers, and there's, you know, all kinds of tanks outside of Harvard protecting, you know, the elite intellectual, you know, from the masses. I mean, people walk freely for crying out loud. I mean, that's simply not the case. I mean, look at John Lennon, you know, one of the most elite of the elite, you know, got shot right outside of his apartment in the condominium complex in, you know, the middle of New York City. So this concept that only elites are the ones who protect their family members and their loved ones with secret security detail is just absurd, absolutely absurd. Listen, we got a packed full Freedom Lines right now, Eric. So we're going to get to everybody when we get back. But let me give you the Freedom Lines right now because we're going to have to go to a break for the top of the hour. Then be back with your calls. 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. Again, that's 1-866-987-8466. And also, I do want to get to that other issue, too. We talked about Chris Kyle, the ex-Navy SEAL, who was unfortunately shot dead at a shooting range in Texas. He and another former combat veteran were trying to help another Marine who was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and as a consequence of their goodwill trying to help, they were murdered in cold blood. So that's a very sad thing, but again, brings to light the mental illness aspect of gun regulation.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back. Hour number two here. The good Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in today for Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Tom will be back tomorrow. In the meanwhile, we have a full board of callers on the Freedom Express here. So, Eric, let's just get right to the callers. They've been very patient in holding. So
do it, Mike. Do it.
Give them a lot of credit for that. Okay, let's go first to, let me see. I want to go to... Let's try Paul. Paul from FSTV, and he's out in Northville, Michigan, looks like. What's up, Paul?
Yeah, how you doing, Dr. Mike? You put on a great show, by the way.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I wanted to point out, first I wanted to say that the NRA is just a bunch of gun pushers, and they don't care how many people get slaughtered by the guns as long as the gun makers are making millions of dollars and, you know, giving them money.
Right.
But I guess my main point is I want to point out the hypocrisy of these anti-government morons, like the guy that kidnapped the kid and shot the bus driver. They're so
right.
Anti-government, but they don't mind cashing their Social Security check every month, and they don't mind getting their free government health care called Medicare, and they don't mind breathing the clean air that's protected by the government and eating food that's kept safe by government inspections. You know, but they're so anti-government. You know, it's just.
Well, why do you think that's the case, though? Because, look, you know, when I think back, I'm from Philadelphia originally, Paul, and, you know, I'm a big fan of the American Revolution, big fan of the Founding Fathers and the history of this country, and it's, you know, lives and breathes in my hometown of Philadelphia. And when I think of our government, Paul, and I think of America and the American government, I get chills. I love my government. I love my country. I think it's the best government, the best democracy on God's green earth. And why conservatives, you know, think that our government is somehow evil, that it's nefarious, that it needs to be, you know, taken down. I just don't get it. I am diametrically opposed. Look, is it perfect? No. Is there a lot of stuff that could be better? Absolutely. I mean, could we get rid of a lot of the lobbying and the money in politics and all that? Absolutely. But when it comes down to fundamentally who we are and what we're about and what our government represents, I mean, would they rather be with the Taliban and the Middle East? Would they rather have those kind of governments? I mean, what's their beef with our government?
Yeah, well, I think mainly what it is you know, billionaires don't want to pay taxes, and, you know, they have to pay taxes to the government, so that's why they hate the government. You know, they want to do what they want. They're just selfish.
Right, but isn't that what we had back with King George? It wasn't the whole point of the revolution is that you had billionaires and kings and people who wanted to be above the fray and didn't want to participate in the democracy. They didn't want equality. I mean, that's the whole reason why we have the government that we do now.
Exactly right. Exactly,
you know,
right.
To protect from, you know, the uber wealthy and the uber powerful as they try to usurp, you know, things. But I will listen. I appreciate the comments, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, that's Paul calling in right now, opening up another Freedom Line at 866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. Let's go next to Jerry on WWRL, and he's calling in from the state of New York. Welcome.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. Yeah, on the gun issue and Executive Vice President, the NRA's Executive Vice President, right, Wayne LaPierre, and his hypocrisy, I'd like to touch in on the hypocrisy issue, too,
sure,
from a slightly different take on what I think the hypocrisy is with respect to Wayne LaPierre. Although, first of all, I should point out that more guns in more people's hands is the NRA's answer to everything. I think it's important to bear that in mind. But with respect to the hypocrisy issue, I mean, first of all, for Wayne LaPierre to try to call the president hypocritical on the gun issue is the perfect example of how Wayne LaPierre, it's the perfect example to me of how Wayne LaPierre is the man in the glass house throwing stones, because there's so many examples of Wayne LaPierre's hypocrisy on the gun issue. And for instance, first of all, Wayne LaPierre has recently gone as record, he's gone on record as saying that we have to keep guns out of the hands of criminals and people he refers to as deranged.
Right.
But and that's his words, not mine. Yeah, but then here's where the hypocrisy comes into play. Then he's gone on record as saying he opposes background checks at gun shows, and he also opposes background checks done on people who buy guns or other firearms through private sales. Well, how are you supposed to find out of somebody? How are you supposed to determine if somebody's a criminal or,
right,
or quote, deranged, all right, unless you do a background check? So that's the first level of hypocrisy with respect to Wayne LaPierre.
And just so you know also that the overwhelming majority of Americans, when polled, support background checks. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's like almost 90%, I think.
Even Wayne did at one point.
Correct. I mean, I don't know if – were you aware of that, too, that he also at one point was for background checks?
Yes, I heard that, yes.
Yeah, let me play the clip. We got a clip for you, and I'll let you finish up your thoughts. But you got the clip, Eric?
Okay. Last year, the world created 1.8 trillion.
All right, he's going to get the other one.
You know, they always throw a commercial in front of it.
You know, well, that's capitalism for you. You know, someone's got to throw a commercial on there. Go ahead. Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, Jerry, you got the floor. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, well, the other level of hypocrisy with Wayne LaPierre is the way that he and a lot of these, well, just some, not all of these NRA people, they seem to want to lionize, misinterpret, and treat as absolute people's Second Amendment rights. But then, especially Wayne LaPierre, he appears to have such a low regard for other rights, such as not only the right to life, but then he also has a low regard for either the First Amendment rights of video game manufacturers. He has no problem with the government looking at that, or he has no problem with the government looking at, he has no problem with the government interfering with the privacy rights of people receiving psychiatric treatments, who Wayne LaPierre wants to make a big government database for. This anti-government guy has no problem with that, despite a lack of proof that all or even most of these gunmen involved in some of the worst mass shootings in America actually had easily treatable or easily diagnosable mental illnesses, as opposed to they're simply being sociopaths. I would suggest that most of these people are just sociopaths, with a few exceptions having psychiatric problems. But even there, if you look at the guy in Colorado that did the Colorado movie theater shooting,
right,
he was seeing a psychiatrist, but psychiatry is a wonderful thing, but it has its limits. She was unable to help him, and he did what he wanted to do anyway. So
right.
I think we should not overemphasize the mental health aspect of it and think that's going to solve all the problems. We have to ban some of these military-style assault weapons. We have to do background checks. We need a whole comprehensive piece of legislation. We should not fool ourselves into thinking that if we only look at the psychiatric angle,
right,
we only look at the, yeah.
No, I agree. It's got to be comprehensive. Listen, Jerry, I appreciate your comments. Very insightful. Thank you. That's Jerry calling in from New York at WWRL. But it does have to be comprehensive. Look, President Barack Obama was very clear about this. He said, no matter what regulations we put in place, no matter what we do, you're not going to prevent 100% of homicides by guns. It's just not going to happen. But what the president did say is that if we could stop one or two deaths bygone, then guess what? Our job's been done, because that's somebody's life. That's somebody's child. That's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's son. That's somebody's mother. So anything that we can do that is common sense and practical, and put forward a framework of practical common sense gun control and regulation. No one's trying to take anybody's guns away from you. No one's trying to deny anybody a Second Amendment right. But what we are trying to do is to bring some common sense into the conversation. And yet every time you talk to somebody like Wayne LaPierre or some, you know, far right NRA member, you know, they take the extreme opposite view and basically peddle nonsense to the public at large. And look, the bottom line is this, the public is catching on to this, Eric. If you look at the last election cycle, I think there was about 15 races that the NRA pumped tons of money into, and in states that are very heavy gun users, Ohio, Florida, you know, my home state, Pennsylvania, they put a lot of money into these races. And of the 15 that they put in, I think it was Senate races or congressional races, only three of them won. 12 of them lost. So what you're beginning to see now is that the NRA is not as effective as it once was maybe 5 or 10 years ago. The NRA is now starting to lose
a lot
of their luster.
They're trying hard to hold on.
No, they're trying hard to hold on. But what you might really be seeing are the death throes, if you will, for lack of a better term, of the NRA as it once was, and now more common sense stuff starting to take hold. All right, we'll be back with more of the Tom Hartman program in a moment.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman, who will be back tomorrow. Alrighty, welcome back. 20 minutes after the hour. Let's get to the Freedom Lines at 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. First up is Ryan on the line from Spokane, Washington. Ryan, welcome to the table here.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I just want to give a little background. My wife is getting her PhD in pharmacy a little over a year away. My father-in-law is Palestinian, and during the Palestinian-Israeli war, caught grenades dropped on his head and lost his land. He married my wife's mother and became a citizen the correct way. My point is that we're always using tax dollars to pick winners and losers. Reagan, he funded the Ayatollah. He had a secret war going on. He granted amnesty. We're always playing political favors. I mean, the things that we could actually divide us are just far and far and far stretched. The things that I think Americans could actually agree on is a flat tax, so General Electric pays some taxes. I think we'd agree that one vote counts, so if your state disagrees with your vote for the president, your vote still counted. That solves a lot of problems. And, I just think we need to concentrate. I think that caller was a little bit correct when he says, hey, all we're doing is focusing on division, and when people don't want to pay their taxes or they're upset where their tax money is going, that's because sometimes it's funding the Ayatollah. So, and we're bribing the whole Middle East. I think another thing, and my last point, and all you speak is, I think that more people would rather feed the hungry in America than bribe the Middle East. We're not nation building, and the Vietnam vets would tell you we are not nation building. And anyway, please go ahead if you have
all right.
a comment.
Sure. No, Ryan, well, look, you said your piece there. I don't have anything else to comment on that other than I probably would disagree with the flat tax, because I think the flat tax really is not a fair tax when it comes to people on the lower rungs, if you will, of the economic ladder, because under a flat tax, if I have to pay, say, you know, let's just say hypothetically, it's a gallon of milk, and say it's the flat tax is what, 20%?
20%.
Just say 20%. So say the milk's $10, just to make it easier. So then that would be what, $2.
Right.
So, but $2 for somebody making
$20,000
a year versus $2 for a guy making $1 million a year doesn't seem to be intrinsically fair in a flat tax type of way, because that way people who have to buy their ordinary goods, whether it's food or sustenance or whatnot, it's disproportionately affecting people who don't have as much disposable income. So I'm not really a fan of the flat tax. I'm okay with the progressive taxation that we have, that where people, as they go up higher and higher on the income scale, pay a little bit incrementally more.
If it's done correctly.
If it's done correctly, yeah. And I don't look. Ryan, I, as a physician, you know, I'm in the top 1% when it comes to income earning, but I don't really mind paying an extra 3% or more to my government that I love if I feel as though that government is actually spending money according to what my values and ideas are. And see, that's the whole thing, Eric, is like people often say, you know what? You know, the private sector, what you decide to do with your money in the private sector, you know, that's your prerogative and you should be able to do that. But when it comes to taxpayer money, you shouldn't be able to have a say in it. Well, isn't that what elections are about? I mean, if there's a politician who's running who's saying, look, I'm going to tax people more, but that tax money is going to go towards health care for all of our citizens, to education for all our citizens. Don't I have just as much of a right as a private investor putting money in a private sector business to say, look, I'm a taxpaying citizen and I want this politician in because that's what I want my tax money to go to? I'd rather have my tax money go to those things, healthcare, education, rather than Exxon or Chevron, who just made billions and billions of dollars of profit last year, but are getting hundreds of millions and billions of dollars of tax credits from the government.
That's insane.
No.
I mean, that's too much. It's got to stop.
No, absolutely. It's insane. So, you know, anyway. I digress. 1-866-987-TOM is the number. Let's get back to some of our calls. I think next up is Tim. He's listening on free speech in Columbia, South Carolina, and wants to talk about the NRA and Wayne LaPierre. So, Tim, welcome to the program.
Yeah, how you doing? How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I have to give Chris Wallace kudos. I think his dad would be proud of his journalistic integrity. I guess Wayne LaPierre forgot that John Hannity was on vacation that day.
Right, right. No, Chris Wallace did a great job.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying, you know, I'd be glad when this country and the NRA members will wake up to this con artist that Wayne LaPierre is. I mean, this guy's trying to peddle the idea that he can't possibly understand why the president of the United States kids might need security. And I think it's an insult on the American public, you know, and more people should be outraged by that statement alone. You're basically calling all of us dummies that we can't understand why a president might, you know, kids might need to be, as one of your callers said earlier, the president kids could be held hostage, you know?
Right. And you know what bugs me about this too? And I don't know if he was doing this purposely or not. And I pray to God that he wasn't, Tim, but in a certain way, this is, you know, one has to ask the question, was Wayne LaPierre saying that so that he could target the Obama children? Because, see, this is what happened here in Arizona. I alluded to this earlier, where we had Sarah Palin putting crosshairs on a congressional district here in Arizona and saying, don't retreat, reload. And then Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords had this lunatic, Jared Loughner, who had mental illness, take a gun, go down to an event that she had on a weekend outside a grocery store or supermarket, and put a gun, a bullet right into her head. You know, I mean, when you start saying things like that and you target public officials or the president's children, you're now planting that seed, Tim, in some nutball's head that, hey, you know, now it's in the news, the president's kids, security, you know, hostage crisis, you know, shooting them. I think it's completely irresponsible for Wayne LaPierre to do that.
It is. It is for somebody of his caliber to make a careless statement like that that can be misinterpreted as like a code, you know.
Right.
A code word, you know, to like a Manchurian candidate type person, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was poor taste. And I think the people should wake up and try to focus on his removal, because I really believe that he's so deep in the pockets of
the lobbyists. Yeah.
Yeah, the lobbyists. Yeah, that he's basically not functional.
Well, no, look, maybe this will start happening. Maybe the NRA members will start saying, "Hey, this is really not representative of who we are, what we believe." So we'll say, "Listen, Tim, I got to run. Appreciate the call. Thank you." Okay, we'll be back with more of the Tom Hartman program. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom, who will be back tomorrow. All righty, welcome back, my friends. 34 minutes after the hour. We're going to get to these Freedom Lines in a second. But, Eric, I wanted to play this other clip here. This is from this past weekend as well. I believe it was on the George Stephanopoulos program this week on ABC. And it was Representative Lou Barletta. He's a Republican from Pennsylvania. And they were talking about the gun debate as well. And also, I believe Paul Krugman was on that panel, too. And I have an exchange between him and Carly Fiorina that I want to play a little bit later. But I wanted to put this, since we're talking about gun regulation, Wayne LaPierre and this piece, because this guy, believe it or not, ultimately used an analogy about banning spoons and obesity, you know, that he thought was that somehow analogous to gun control and banning assault weapons and things along those lines. So are we ready for the tape?
Yep.
Okay.
Are you comfortable where the NRA has been on this?
Yeah, I am. I mean, this is a perfect example why people believe Washington is broke. This horrific incident in Newtown, and here, what is our debate? It's focusing on guns. There's not one person at this table who really believes that that's the root of what happened there. And when we have people that get into the mindset that they want to harm people, as a former mayor, I know people will get guns no matter what laws we pass. Just like the illegal drugs.
I caught you on a false statement there, because at least I do believe that guns are the root. There are crazy people everywhere, but mass murders are a lot more common here.
If you believe guns are more important than dealing with mental health and our culture, is our culture lending itself that we're raising children that are desensitized to murder, yes, to killing people?
I look at the international differences, and countries that have effective gun control have a lot fewer.
Would banning spoons stop obesity? Of course not.
Banning large soda drinks.
No, right. So,
you know, I drink soda and I'm not fat.
I know. Well, he was talking about banning the.
I use a spoon.
Right. I hear music in the background. What is that?
Oh, I don't know what that was.
Well, was that the voices in your head?
It must have been.
Transmitted over the airways. Yes. But no, but I mean, look, that's ridiculous for this Representative Lou Barletta to basically say, oh, by banning spoons, is that going to get rid of obesity? I mean, it's a fallacious argument. It's not apples.
It's like saying ban cars so drunk people don't kill people.
Right, or ban cars so there'd be no accidents.
No
accidents. But, you know, if you look, what Paul Krugman was trying to say is that if you look at other countries throughout the world, and in particular industrialized countries, you know, and Mexico. Actually, Mexico has the highest number, I believe, gun-related homicides by far from anyone. But a lot of that has to do with drug trafficking and them trying to fight the drug lords out in Mexico. But if you look at Mexico, then United States is, you know, the closest second. And then next to us, it's barely nothing. I mean, hardly anybody has the amount of homicides that we have that are caused by guns. And that tells you something. It tells you that if you do put in good, practical, sensible regulations, that you could mitigate the circumstances. You could lessen the incidence of gun-related deaths and homicides and crimes. But these guys are like, Eric, well, you know, it's up to the individual. Let the individual decide. So the individual doesn't need any rules or regulations. So if that's the case, you know, why do we even have a Food and Drug Administration, Eric? Why not just let the people figure it out?
Why have stop signs on the street?
Right. I mean, come on. I mean, this is
stop
people
signal.
This is what I love. When you see conservatives talk about, well, it's the individual, and people aren't stupid. People know what to do with their own money. People know how to do this or that. No one's saying people are stupid, but some individuals don't have the knowledge that they need to make the right decisions. You know, and I'll get to this hopefully too later in the program. This Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that was created by Barney Frank and as part of the Dodd-Frank law to rein in the crimes, if you will, of Wall Street. I mean, the Consumer Protection Bureau is precisely that. The Financial Protection Bureau is to help consumers navigate through a very complex system of financial rules and regulations and the fine lines and the small print. People, you know, often don't know what that stuff means. And that's where you get predatory lenders. People who are saying, hey, let's go after the people who are more ignorant, not stupid, but more ignorant when it comes to understanding what this loan is all about. And that's where you get into problems, Eric, too, because like even with health insurance, I could tell you as a doctor, when people sign up for health insurance and you get that thick packet and you get all the small print, People don't understand.
They don't even read it.
No, they don't read it. They just sign it. But you can't tell me that the lay person who does not have medical training, who didn't go to medical school, understands about experimental procedures or specific medical terminology or jargon. I mean, that stuff is specifically put in there to dupe the actual consumer who's going to buy the product, so that when push comes to shove down the road, when the insurance company has to actually pay a benefit, they're going to say, wait a second, but
you signed this, and this says,
right, and this was here, and you know, but people don't understand that. I mean, if that were the case, I would say people don't need doctors. What do you need me for? You know, it's on the internet. The information's out there. You know, you got a blocked heart artery. Go figure.
I got an X-Acto knife at home.
Yeah. Put yourself up by your bootstraps and do a bypass graft into your coronary arteries. I mean, you don't need me. What are you, stupid? You need me, the doctor, to help you with that? But that's how conservatives think of the world. That is always their argument, that, you know, the individual, let the individual decide. The individual knows best. No, the individual doesn't always know best. And the individual at times does need help from experts. You know, why doesn't everybody who has to go to court represent themselves in the courtroom?
Because they don't know the law.
Right.
And just like, you know, like you said, you're not necessarily stupid. You're just ignorant of those laws.
Of those laws. And it would take you 3 years of law school, 4 years of college to get that expertise to do that.
So you could be a very successful businessman.
Right.
And not understand
any of that. And that's the whole point. So when a conservative makes that argument that, oh, leave it up to the individual to make decisions that could put them at financial risk, put their health at risk, I don't agree with that. I think there are times and places where the individual needs counsel, where the individual needs somebody with expertise to help them make a decision. Ultimately, the individual makes the decision, Eric, but the individual should have readily available resources and counsel to make a prudent decision, not a ridiculous decision, as they did with predatory lending and all kinds of other crap that's out there. All right, in any case, let's get back to the Freedom Lines at 1-866-987-8466. Let's see. First up in the queue, I believe, is Stephen from Chicago, and he wants to weigh in with some of his thoughts. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. This is Stephen Finnegan. I have something that no one's bringing up in the news. And it's really, really important. The idea that compromise is something that is good all the time, and that and there's not enough of it.
Right.
The problem that we're having right now is that there's things that have to be done, and unless they're done properly, they're not going to be effective. Let me give you an example. When they had welfare, and they put together a welfare program, they had specific things in there, social programs and keeping up the buildings and helping people find jobs and all the things that went into welfare. And then they cut the guts out of the program, and then they blamed the people. They stopped taking care of the buildings. They stopped giving them social.
Starve the beast is their philosophy.
They didn't give them education. They didn't do anything about redlining, which led to more segregation.
Right.
Unless all the things are done to make a program work properly, it's worthless.
Right, but look, I'm glad you brought this up, though, because this is, Stephen, a classic conservative ploy where, as I said earlier, it's called starve the beast. What you do is you take a program that, say, is functioning quite well and it's doing its job, but then what you do through the power of Congress, because Congress can appropriate funds, Congress then starves the beast. And they consider that social program, whether it's Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, they consider it the beast. So if they can keep defunding, and put this thing on life support, and then the thing collapses on its own weight, then they're going to say, oh, see, it was a program that never worked in the first place, when in reality, they're the ones who killed the program by withdrawing the sustenance that kept it alive.
But unless we get another strong person like FDR or somebody that can actually say, okay, this has to be done, there can't be a compromise.
Right. No, I agree with you, Stephen. I don't think and if you listen to me, I've appeared on Tom's program quite a bit recently. I don't believe in just compromising for compromising's sake. I believe that you compromise when you feel that the other side's accepting your values and respects your values and shares some common values. But when the other side is the complete opposite of you, the complete antithesis, then no, there is no room for compromise. You know, from my perspective as a doctor, when it comes to, you know, to a woman's decision to you know, basically have autonomy over her own body, and for a woman to make those decisions in the privacy of the office with the doctor, I believe that's sacrosanct, and I don't believe there should be any compromise on that. On the contraception issue, I think if a woman wants to get contraception, she should have a right to get it, period, and that no one should deny her that. Employers should not deny a woman that based off of the employer's religious background or religious beliefs. I think there should be no compromise on that. There's certain things that are just, as far as I'm concerned, you don't compromise. And, you know, the president, I think, has been trying hard to compromise on certain issues, but I think what you're going to see in the second term, though, Stephen, is the president hold a steady hand and a line in the sand, if you will, on certain issues that are going to be forthcoming in Congress and debated hotly. So, listen, I appreciate your time on the air here. We still got a bunch of callers in the queue right now. 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman, who will be back tomorrow. Okay, welcome back. 50 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for today. Tom will be back tomorrow. But we have now live on the air, Victoria Jones with Talk Radio News Service. Victoria, welcome.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to have you back again.
Delighted to be with you.
So what do we got happening out there in the world at large?
Well, President Obama took his first trip outside the Beltway today to kick off his campaign push against gun violence to Minneapolis, Minnesota, saying we're starting to see a consensus emerge about the action that Congress needs to take. And as he says, he was flanked by cops saying we should restore the ban on military-style assault weapons and a 10-round limit on magazines, said that deserves a vote in Congress. Our law enforcement officers should never be outgunned on the streets. He also got quite emotional during his remarks, saying it may not be the perfect solution. We may not save every life, but we can make a difference. And saying we're not going to wait until the next Newtown or the next Aurora.
Wow. Did the president mention anything about background checks or also people who are mentally ill?
I wasn't there for the speech today. He definitely mentioned background checks. I believe he mentioned the mentally ill, but I haven't seen the transcript yet. But he definitely mentioned background checks.
Okay, excellent.
Also tomorrow, coming up in the House, the bipartisan group of lawmakers, which has been secret up to now, of four Democratic and four Republicans, are going to unveil a bill. Actually, this is a different group. I don't think this is a secret group.
This is not the Gang of Eight, because the Gang of Eight includes our two senators here in Arizona,
no.
Senators Flake and McCain.
No, I don't think this is a secret group. I think this is an unsecret group. This is a dull group.
Okay.
This is a dull group of four lawmakers are going to unveil a measure alongside law enforcement leaders called the Gun Trafficking Prevention Act of 2013. It's going to mirror a bipartisan Senate proposal last week. What it's going to do, it will make gun trafficking a federal crime and impose new penalties against straw purchasers who knowingly buy firearms for convicted criminals who are barred from buying their own weapons.
Interesting.
So with House and Senate legislation and bipartisan in the House, this sounds a pretty good chance.
Absolutely, absolutely. What else we got going on, Victoria?
Also today, Representative Paul Ryan, chairman of the House Budget Committee, criticized President Obama for missing the 4th February deadline for producing a budget. I'm disappointed the president's missed his deadline, but I'm not surprised. In four of the last 5 years, he's failed to submit his budget on time. And he said Congress still has not been informed of when a 2014 budget will be coming. And Jay Carney, the White House spokesman, said in response that the president has put forward consistently budgets that achieve what the American people overwhelmingly support. And he also said that Obama's late budget is better than the Republican budget any day.
Now, when does that sequester, speaking of the budget, I know we bought a few months here, Victoria, when does that sequester provision start to kick in then if they don't come up upon a budget deal?
On the 1st of March, not this Friday, two Fridays after that.
Wow, so that's right around the corner.
Right around the corner, and there's no sign that enough work is being done to head off those automatic cuts right now. And really, there's quite a lot of lawmakers who seem pretty resigned to it happening.
Wow, and they're playing politics with the livelihoods of many, many Americans. It's unfortunate that's happening. Anything else happening, Victoria?
Yes, the Senate took up the Violence Against Women Act today. This, of course, languished at the end of the last Congress because the House and the Senate were not able to come to agreement because the House wouldn't agree to certain provisions in the Senate bill. Senate's made some concessions to meet the Republican concerns, but it's essentially the same bill as before, and they're hopeful they can get it through the Senate this week, pass it to the House, and get it passed again. And finally, the United States Justice Department and state prosecutors are going to file civil charges alleging wrongdoing by Standard & Poor's rating services in its rating of mortgage bonds before the financial crisis in 2008.
Wow. All the more reason why this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau needs to really take root here.
Which you've got a whole bunch of lawmakers. I think you've got 47 Republicans wrote to the president on Friday saying they intend to block it.
Right, right. Unbelievable. Well, listen, Victoria, as always, we appreciate your time here. And thank you for updating the listeners with what's happening in the world at large.
Thank you so much.
Okay, have a great day, Victoria.
You too.
Okay, well, there you have it. Victoria Jones with Talk Radio News Service. And always appreciate those pearls of wisdom, those little nuggets of information, Eric, to keep the mind moving forward. So in any case, let's get back to the Freedom Lines at 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. First up in the queue is Trevor from Amherst, Massachusetts, listening on WHMP. Trevor, thank you for your patience.
Thank you. Been waiting for a while. Good to talk to you. Thank you for giving me this little quick forum. So I wanted to ring in on this gun debate, and I try to cut through a lot of the smoke and mirrors on both sides of the issue. I think it's ridiculous to assert that, you know, the Second Amendment means that we should have guns so we can fight against the government, and I agree with some of the things Tom Hartman has said, that the genesis of that amendment was so that we could have guns as weapons to terrorize people. That's what the purpose of it was for.
Right.
And self-protection is another legitimate reason. Those things are legitimate reasons for having firearms. And then on the other side of the debate, that, you know, a limit to the amount of bullets in a firearm, there should be a reasonable limit. I think that that's subject to question. Who's to say how many bullets a person would need for self-defense? So I'm kind of skeptical of that argument as well.
Right,
so
right.
So when I try to look at it without going from either side of that equation.
What do you think about the mental health aspect of that? Should there be mental health screening as part of gun ownership?
I think everything else is legitimate. I think mental health is definitely something that should be a component of it. I think that a component of it should be closing the loopholes and making sure that we know everybody that gets a gun.
No, absolutely. Well, listen, Trevor, you got the last word. We're up against a heartbreak. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Okay, back at the top of the hour with more of the Tom Hartman program.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back. Hour number three, my friends, as the Freedom Express continues to rumble along here live on the Tom Hartman Program. The good doctor, Dr. Mike Newcomb, sitting in today. Tom will be back tomorrow, so I appreciate everybody's patience and also the opportunity to speak with you, the best listening audience in America and in the world, Eric, for that matter, because we are streaming, right, over the worldwide web. No doubt about it. So listen, we're going to get to your calls in a second. I know there's a lot of people holding on right now, but I want to play this clip too to start out the hour because we were talking about the concept of compromise earlier. You had one of the callers calling in and saying that, you know, sometimes you got to make sure the compromise is a good compromise and that, you know, you get kind of what you need to make sure that the program succeeds. I think he was kind of alluding to like welfare and how conservatives more or less gutted welfare, took away the funding, tried to starve the beast, and then say, look, welfare doesn't work. So I'm always of the opinion that conservatives don't want to compromise. It's really their way or the highway. And we've seen this throughout the first 4 years of the Obama presidency, where you look at the filibusters and the number of filibusters are just skyrocketing, absolutely skyrocketing. When you look at the graph, you can't do it on radio, but when you look at the graph and you look at all the previous years, it's like a little blip. If it's like a bar graph going up vertically, they're like little tiny blips of the number of filibusters, and then boom, you get to the last 4 years of President Obama and the thing skyrockets. It's because they don't want to compromise. Conservatives refuse to compromise on anything. And President Barack Obama is on record saying, look, I'll extend my hand if you unclench your fist. And that's the bottom line. He's been more than willing to extend his hand, but all he's being met with is clenched fist time and time again. So I was sort of scouring the internet, and I come upon Sean Hannity. And Sean Hannity was just kind of whining about, you know, Obama this, liberals that, blah, 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 and the world's going to end. But instead of, like, you know, finding compromise, he then talks about what he feels is the right way to go. So let me just play this clip from Sean Hannity.
If the left keeps pushing and pushing and pushing and demonizing and radicalizing America to the point where the America we grew up in, the America today looks nothing like it.
Yeah, we're radicalizing it. One of his signature achievements in the first 4 years was health care for everybody. I mean, that's
so horrible.
You know, that's not the America that I want to live in or, you know, conceive, Eric. I mean, it is a horrible thing, isn't it?
It's awful. People should be dying. They don't deserve anything.
Exactly, you damn liberals trying to get health care for people so that they don't have to be sick and have cancer and have their limbs amputated. You know, that's a very radical agenda.
I think you're going to see movements of people, just like these states are saying, I don't like what the federal government's doing. Leave me alone. Leave my state alone. Leave my gun rights alone. And so the states are now fighting and battling against their own federal government.
What's new with that? He acts like that's never happened before.
Right.
Like, did he ever?
There was no civil war.
There was no civil war. We always just got along very peachy king. You know, there was no controversy between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists back in the day when they were debating, you know, the Constitution and what framework of government we should have and whether or not the government should be a strong, solid central government that represents the interests of the people or should be a deregulated.
Could you imagine if there was no government? All the states would be warring.
But this is what he's talking about. This is what they want. You see, if they don't get what they want, this is, you can hear his words. He's talking about secession, about the states seceding.
No, I mean,
from
they'd be fighting themselves.
Oh, sure they would. Eventually they'd be fighting themselves. You know what it is? Conservatives are like, they're like bratty children. Bratty children, you need a parent. And the parent has to be us, the liberal progressive community, because if it wasn't, they would just basically whine and be mischievous. And
you know what they say? You, as a parent, you can't be the friend. You're a friend of your child. You've
right.
got to be the strong, strong one in life.
Tough love. And that's
right.
That's what they're reacting against, our tough love. So in essence, it's a kid's way of, like, you know, running away from home. Well, that's what they want to do. They want to run away from the federal government and secede from the union. It's just unbelievable. And we've had that here in Arizona. If you remember with Senator Russell Pierce before he got recalled. And just so people understand, this was unprecedented in the history of state politics. We had a guy here named Russell Pierce, Senator Russell Pierce, who was a lunatic, absolute far right, crazy lunatic kind of guy. You know, I mean, literally coddled up with Nazis. And
his own son had the Iron Eagle tattooed across the front of his neck.
It wasn't the You sure wasn't the bald eagle?
No, it was an iron eagle. You can tell the difference.
American bald eagle?
No. It wasn't a patriotic thing.
It wasn't a patriotic thing.
Hey, look him up. Look up Russell Pierce's song and then look in images. You'll find him. He's got a big tat across his neck.
Well, but you know, Eric, you were a witness to this, what happened with Russell Pierce. He got so crazy that he was recalled, successfully recalled, then went up in a recall election and lost in the recall election. And then I believe he tried to run again after the next term in the general or in the
and
primary,
he was just
and
memory.
He lost too.
It was just a memory at that point.
Right. But what he tried to do was he tried to set up this group of 12 at the state legislature here in Arizona, all conservative Republicans, who basically said that if we don't agree with federal law, this is the nullification aspect, that if we don't agree with federal law, we as a state reserve the right to just say, screw you. Thumb our nose at you, and we're not going to honor federal law. So this is what I say when it comes to compromise. Conservatives don't want compromise. It's their way or the highway. They'll filibuster till death do you part, and if that doesn't work, they'll threaten another civil war, and you start a civil war at least by seceding from the union.
Same thing with individuals. If you live in a state like New York, New Jersey, California, one of these high tax states, and 60 plus cents of every dollar goes to taxes, he's saying, what the hell am I doing this for?
Versus he doesn't tell you about all the red states and all of the welfare money that goes disproportionately to the red states. So, like, the blue states might have higher taxes, but most of the government handout, those handouts, quote unquote, go to the red states, but the red states are the ones who hate the government.
Who are complaining.
Right. So they want to bite the hand that feeds them, you know, just like a bratty child, and then they want to secede from the union.
A lot of people have told me that. A lot of people are moving to states. I noticed that Bobby Jindal moved to remove his state income tax. He's not stupid. You know what's going to happen to Louisiana?
Yes, he is. He's one of the worst governors in America right now, Bobby Jindal. Did you see the actual post, when was it? He gave like one of those post something responses, and he just made an absolute fool of himself.
The same thing that's happening in Texas and Florida. Their populations are soaring. Businesses, they're doing a lot better. State governments are fine. They're surviving. They don't have the property taxes that they do in New York, which is obscene. I mean, New York just you just pay and pay and pay and pay and pay. And I'm telling you, at some point they keep doing this, you're going to see the country, you're going to see very significant portions of the country. I'd like to see, politically speaking, this happen in 2014. Exactly what happened in 2010. People that are fed up with a power hungry, radicalized, abusive federal government intruding into every aspect of our lives. People are going to say they're fed up.
Yes. Who's intruding in whose lives? Who's the one saying that when a woman is raped, that she must have that kid, that they want the federal government to say that when a woman is brutally raped and gets pregnant, that she must have that kid, and if she doesn't, guess what? She's going to go to prison. She's going to go to jail. And the doctor who performs the termination of that pregnancy is going to go to prison. And they got these same type of bills wending their way through state legislatures, but they want the government off your back.
And states are going to want more liberty and more freedom. And they're not going to want to tax their citizens to death anymore. If this pattern continues and gets worse and worse and worse, I could see at some point states saying, forget it. We don't want to be a part of this union anymore. That's so radical, Hannity. Well, if it's so radical, then read the Declaration of Independence. It's a radical document.
It's so radical. So he's calling for another civil war. So they don't get their way. They can't win elections. They got to rig the elections now on a go-forward basis. We'll talk about that. And if they can't rig the elections, then guess what? They want us to see.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman, who will be back tomorrow. Okay, 20 minutes after the hour, the good doctor here for Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Tom will be back tomorrow. The Freedom Lines are open at 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-TOM. 866-987-8466. Without further ado, let's just get right to the call. It's Jeff's been holding for some time from Roger, to Rogers, Arkansas, I believe. Jeff, how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. I'm ecstatic to be on your show. I just started watching the free speech television, and you know, and I'm just amazed at all the good information that's on it.
Awesome, awesome. Are we on television right now?
Pardon me?
I said we're on television right now.
Freespeech.org.
Yeah.
Oh, is that me looking at you right there? Look at that.
I'm watching radio on TV.
There you go.
Well, what I've noticed on there was like Arizona had this running free, way of collecting campaign contributions for their politicians, and I think that should be a national thing. Because, you know, where they take speeding tickets and fines and put a surcharge on it and use that money to elect their candidates.
Yeah, it's called Clean Elections, Jeff, and it was actually an initiative that was put forward by we, the citizens here in Arizona, and it went to the ballot, and the citizens voted it in, and you're correct. It's basically a fund that has the money come from, like you said, things like parking violations and certain other things and surcharges, and then if the candidates, it's for statewide office. So if you want to run for a state representative, whether at the Senate level or the House, or if you want to run for any of the statewide offices like governor or secretary of state, you can actually run as what is called a clean candidate, which means that you will not take a pledge, you sign an oath to not take any money from outside sources. The only money that you get is the money that is funded to you by the state. And everybody who's a clean election candidate gets the same amount of money for the office that you're running for. And in that way, you're competing not based off of what lobbyist or what corporation or what special interest is giving you money. You're competing now based off of your ideas, head-to-head with equal funding. And I agree with you. I'd love to see clean elections at the federal level as well. But good luck with that one.
Well, you know, you're talking about compromise. Well, how can you have a really effective debate whenever half of the panel is like taking money from the people they're debating?
Right. No, I agree. It's a very perverse system that we have. And with the Citizens United decision, as you saw with the Supreme Court, that basically gave corporations and big donors, individual donors as well, the ability to fund as much money as they want into someone's election. You can't fund it into the campaign itself, but if you want to create your own PAC or super PAC and you want to be anonymous about it too, you could do that. So you could literally be a sheik somewhere in the Middle East who wants to influence American politics. You could set up your own super PAC, not have to tell anybody who you are, put $1 billion or $10 billion in it, which is a drop in the bucket, a drop in the barrel, if you will, for many of these oil tycoons. And they can influence American politics simply by putting that money out there and doing it anonymously. And the Supreme Court, on a conservative vote, agreed with that.
Yeah,
that's insane. So listen, anyway, Jeff, I appreciate your time. Thanks for holding so long. That opens up another Freedom Line here on the Tom Hartman program at 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 1-866-987-8466. I'm going to get to more of the callers here in a second, Eric, but I wanted to play another clip here. Okay, if you don't mind here, Eric. I want to play this clip here from – well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to hold off on that clip. I'm going to hold off on that and take another caller or two before I play that clip. So let's go next to Mike. Mike is in Pompano, Florida, and he wants to weigh in with some of his thoughts. Is it Pompano?
Yeah, I think it's Pompano.
Is it Pompano or Pompano?
Pompano, Florida.
Pompano. All right. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing good. Listen here, I have a comment to make and a statement. But before I make the comment, I have this to say, right?
Yes.
King Solomon in the Bible.
Yes.
He was a king, right? Mm-hmm. But he was not a judge. You know? So before he become a judge, God grant him with wisdom and understanding.
Sure.
Because you can be a king, you don't have any kind of wisdom and understanding, that's what the conservative are. They're king, but without any wisdom and understanding. That's why they're making stupid rules. You know, they always come back, bite them in the ass, to hurt common folks.
Okay? Right.
So that being said, Broward County, where I live, right? The court house where I live at, mm-hmm. it's all conservative judges. And
I'm telling you, they have something that they're doing right now. Like, if you're from another country like I am, okay, mm-hmm. for anything, for any reason, they can hit you with a felony, okay?
Wow.
They can report you to immigration and get you deported.
That's okay? crazy. Look, we live here in Arizona, Mike, and I'll tell you, we have had similar things here actually codified into law. The thing called Senate Bill 1070, I don't know if you heard of it, but the governor, Jan Brewer, here in our state, signed this into law, and what it was allows the police officers and law enforcement, if they think that you're here illegally, even if it's on a hunch.
Just by looking at you.
If they got a gut feel that you're here illegally, that they could detain you. They can arrest you and detain you and basically get you to prove that you somehow or another are a citizen or that you have papers, et cetera. I mean, could you imagine that? I mean, you think that's what the founding fathers envisioned when they created this great country, that you can now start detaining people and denying them liberty and freedom just because you think they look like they don't belong here?
I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that because I listen to you guys every day. You know, I love politics. I listen to it every day on the radio. I used to listen to you every Tuesday, but I can't find you anymore. I thank God, you know, I'm speaking to you today.
Well, thank you.
Yes, you know, I'm in that situation. You know, I've been here in this country for like 24 years, mm-hmm. you know, and I have a family here. I have five kids, and, you know, I'm working two jobs. I work hard. I never ask for anything, you know what I'm saying? But, there's an issue with one of my daughters. You know, she lied because, you know, I'm kind of strict, you know. Yeah, so my daughter lied. And so, therefore, you know, they arrested me and hit me with two counts of felony.
All right, it's unfortunate. Hey, listen, unfortunately, Mike, I got to run, brother, because I got the hard break coming up. So thank you for your time, and we'll be back with more of your calls in a second. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in. Tom will be back tomorrow. Okay, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in right now. We're rumbling along, Eric, the Freedom Express, the final push.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Time does fly when you're having fun. Though I was watching a show today, not to get digressive here, though, about time and light, and that, do you know that when you approach the speed of light, Eric, that time actually slows?
Yes, I did know that.
And that length contracts?
Yes, I did know that.
Yes, so
I watched the Discovery Channel, Mike.
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre if you think about that. That as you approach the speed of light, there's a time delay, so that what you think
isn't that Einstein's theory?
Yeah, of relativity. I mean, so in other words, if you were to basically, you know, be stationary,
and you were going very quickly.
No, you're stationary, and I'm going very quickly.
That's what I said.
At the speed of light, maybe like a year would pass for me. But like 500 years would pass for you. I mean, it's not the
You'd
right.
have to be going real fast.
Right, right. But that speed of light. But that's what it's like. It's you know, crazy. It's physics is very, very nutty stuff. But anyway, let's get back to the Freedom Lines right now. Let's go next to Bernadine, and she's in Maui, Hawaii. How are you doing, Bernadine?
Aloha. I'm doing good.
Aloha. Mahalo.
Actually, my point was I saw in the Middle East that they used to – call suicide bombers jihadists, and
uh-huh.
they gave them a lot of notoriety. And in this country, if there was some kind of law where they couldn't say the perpetrator of the crime,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, of who went and killed all these children or all these people in the movie theater and didn't give them notoriety, that might help stop them people wanting to go and get their name out in, you know, notoriety. And also, they banned tobacco, the tobacco industry from advertising on TV, which actually stopped or lowered, you know, or helped, you know, not make people want to smoke.
Right.
And I don't understand how people, like, there was one suicide bomber, and we all have to take off our shoes now. No one was killed.
Mm-hmm.
But the laws went really quickly to where we all have to take off our shoes. How many children of ours have to be killed in schools, citizens in movie theaters?
and in malls before any change or laws are done.
No, well, look, I agree with you 100%, Bernadine. I think that's why you see President Barack Obama really pushing this, and he doesn't want just panels. He doesn't want committees. He wants meaningful legislation, and he's really calling Congress to the carpet to make this happen. And for the most part, it's conservative Republicans who are holding this up. They don't want to see this happen, but I agree with you. How many more innocent lives have to be taken and brutally killed and murdered and assassinated in cold blood before we, the people, wake up? And I think change is coming. I think change is definitely coming, Bernadine. I said in the previous hours that if you look at the NRA and their lobbying efforts, they're becoming not as successful as they once were. If you look at the last election cycle, there was about 15 races that they really pumped a lot of money into, in particular battleground states like Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania. And it turns out that in those three states that I mentioned, of those 15 races, I think they lost about 12 out of the 15. So I think people are starting to wake up, Bernadine, and hopefully that'll translate into meaningful legislation and hopefully prevent some of these killings that are occurring, which it seems like regularity. I mean, every day you turn on the news, Bernadine, there's another story about another murder at the hands of a gun-toting fanatic.
Well, you know, I heard you mention that the people that just killed the sniper and the and the guy who's holding the little kid in a bunker.
Yeah.
If no name was given to the people who create these crimes, then
I agree. They won't have that celebrity status. Right. They all want to be celebrities, and we play up on that. I agree. Once we know the identity of these shooters or the killers, you know, their names,
their household
and faces
names,
are, you know, plastered all over the world for everybody to see. And we, the people, I have to say, are guilty somewhat, too, because we take this sort of macabre interest in their lives and who they are, and we feed into that frenzied news cycle. And, you know, maybe there should be legislation such that you said that their identities are not revealed. Well, listen, Bernie, I got a lot of the people on the line, so thanks a lot.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. All right, that's Bernadine weighing in with her thoughts there, opening up another Freedom Line here at 1-866-987-TOM, T-H-O-M. That's 8466 if you want to translate Tom. But, Eric, we have some update, right, on Jimmy Lee Dykes?
Yes, appears that the little boy has been released.
Yeah, so Jimmy Lee Dykes was the 65-year-old guy who took hostage this 5-year-old boy in Midland City, Alabama. And this kid was suffering from Asperger syndrome as well as attention deficit disorder. And Jimmy Lee Dykes commandeered a school bus, shot the school bus driver dead, put 4 bullets into him. 21 kids were able to successfully escape through the rear entry of the school bus. But this one kid, the 5-year-old kid, he unfortunately was captured, kidnapped, and placed in a bunker. And over the last 5 days or so, this guy, Jimmy Lee Dykes, who is an ardent,
was
an ardent anti-government lunatic and survivalist. Well, he survives no longer. We don't know exactly what happened, but according to the news reports,
he's dead.
So we don't know if he was killed by authorities, or we don't know if he ultimately took his own life. But again, guns, I'm sure, are at the centerpiece of this tragedy, because either way, you know, this guy was holding this kid at gunpoint, hostage, and he had already killed a bus driver. So to Bernadine's point, when will the madness end? When will it stop? You heard earlier in the program about Chris Kyle, and if you haven't heard, Chris Kyle is or was an ex-Navy SEAL. He was an award-winning author and was known as one of the sharpest shooters in the military. He had over 150 kills, from my understanding, one of the highest number of kills when he was in Iraq. So he was very adept at shooting. He knew how to use a gun, and he was at a gun shooting range in Texas with another friend of his, and they were trying to minister, if you will, in fellowship, a former Marine who had post-traumatic stress disorder, and unfortunately things got out of hand, and this ex-Marine who had the PTSD ultimately shot and killed Chris Kyle as well as another colleague. And again, the gun violence just doesn't stop. I mean, I saw last week, too, the young African-American girl who was in the marching band from Chicago, who went to the White House inaugural event, and she was so happy about that. She was a great student, you know, very accomplished academically, and she just was hanging out in Chicago with some friends. It was raining outside, and again, random gun violence, and she was shot, I believe, in the back and killed. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And the only thing you hear from people like Wayne LaPierre and the NRA is that the only answer to these things is more guns. I mean, Wayne LaPierre is infamous for saying in his press release that the only thing that's going to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Oh, look, when you have an ex-Navy SEAL who is the sharpest shooter America has ever known in its recent military history with a gun on a shooting range, and he's shot dead, what does that tell you? That tells you that Wayne LaPierre doesn't get it, because this was a good guy with a gun, Chris Kyle. But that didn't stop, obviously, the bad guy with a gun. So more guns, clearly, is not the solution that we, the people, are looking for. Okay, let's go to Kevin on WCPT in Chicago, Illinois, to hear what he has to say. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot. Just a quick point. Wayne LaPierre, I mean, his main argument seems to be, as far as his weapons ban and registration for guns, that the bad guys are going to get them anyway, you know, purchase guns anyway. Well, if we look at that, what would a bad guy have to do? He would have to go to the black market, to the underground, to the dangerous parts of town, dealing with dangerous people with pockets full of money. I'd rather the bad guy have to do that than have to walk over to a Walmart and purchase some over the counter.
No, I agree with you. That's like me saying, you know, as a physician, cyanide is a poison. But guess what? If a bad guy wants to get cyanide, then they're going to get it anyway. So we might as well just, you know, put it in the counters in Safeway and Walmart and drugstores across the country and make it readily available. I mean, you're right. The more barriers that you put up to get weapons of mass destruction, whether it's poisonous chemicals or whether it's assault rifles and weapons, then it's going to be that much more difficult for the bad guy to get it. You're right. If the bad guy's got to go to the seedy parts of town and deal with even, you know, worse guys, badder guys, if you will, then, you know, let that person take that risk. But I agree with you 100%. I think it's a point, you know, well said and well taken.
Right. I mean, that Aurora shooter, if he would have to go to that, you know, those extremes, I mean, the white guy with the red hair, I'm guessing he's not coming out, and he's definitely not going to get a gun.
No, and he actually amassed incredible amounts of weaponry and arsenal just from the internet. He was able to do it, I think, mostly through the internet to get at least the guns and the magazines and the bullets and things along those lines. So I agree with you 100%, Kevin, and I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that's Kevin over there weighing in with his thoughts. Look, I know he's still got a full board of callers here right now, guys, and we're going to try to get to everybody.
Can you get them all in the last segment, Mike?
On the freedom line, just can you put everybody into one conference call and just
not going to happen.
Have democracy and freedom in action? Just
that sounds like
the voices of America. We can't do that?
No, I don't think so.
No. All right, but we're going to get to everybody here, like I said, in a quick second. But it's just insane, Eric. We do need some sensible gun regulation, because every day you do hear about another tragedy, another victim, and oftentimes it's just innocent people trying to live life, to appreciate the gift of life, trying to make it through the next day, and lo and behold, these tragedies just are becoming more and more and more frequent. And I applaud the president, and I applaud we the people for going out there and trying to get good, meaningful gun legislation passed through Congress. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, back in a moment.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Dr. Mike Newcomb sitting in for Tom Hartman, who will be back tomorrow. Okay, welcome back, my friends. This is the final segment for today. The Freedom Express pulling up to its final stop, its final destination. We're going to get to the Freedom Lines here in one quick second, but I want to thank everybody for participating in today's program, because this is democracy in action. This is a veritable town hall meeting being conducted live over the public airwaves, and I think this is the way it's supposed to be. Okay, so that being said, let's get back to the lines right now. Let's go to Greg on the line. He's listening to the program on Sirius XM Radio, and he's from Freehold, New Jersey, and he's a Tea Party member, I believe. So, Greg, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I heard you before talking about the Citizens United ruling, and I have to disagree with you. I thought it was a good ruling in the sense that it reestablished free speech for all people including corporations. And I heard you mentioning that the thought of foreign or oil sheiks buying a bunch of airtime and trying to influence elections is something important to you. And to me, I just see it as speech. You know, there's in New Jersey where I live, it's a deep blue state, and there was not a lot of advertising this year because New Jersey was not in play. But I can ignore the stuff that I don't like and listen to the stuff that I do like. I am smart enough to know, you know, what I think is truthful and inaccurate, and I can do my own research. And when these decisions are made and the Citizens United decision was made, it also permitted unions and other Democratic supporting organizations to put forth as much information as they want as well. I just see it as more information.
And to a certain extent, Greg, I don't disagree with you, believe it or not. And to a certain extent, I agree with you. But the issue I take with it is the fact that it's anonymous, that it's not transparent. Look, if I want to donate to a federal election, I have to basically disclose who I am. I have to, you know, make sure that I'm a citizen. I have to, you know, check off a little box that says, you know, I'm not doing this in some underhanded way. And then that data is available on public database so people know who donated to which party, et cetera. But when you make it anonymous, I do have a problem with that because I agree with you, speech is speech. And look, the last election, Obama got outspent by Romney, at least from the financial people, 3-1, and Obama still won. I mean, so the bottom line is you're right.
Romney was a flawed candidate, and you know your concerns about anonymity in speech I think are unfounded. Speech is speech, and it doesn't matter who is saying it or who you think might be saying it, because we're all grown-ups, and those of us who aren't should be taught by the grown-ups that evaluate speech, be it TV commercials, written words, spoken words, evaluate it on its merits, dismiss it if you want to, accept it if you agree with it. If you can defeat the argument, then defeat the argument.
But what you're affording to corporations then is you're affording to them personhood then. By saying that they have the same rights as everybody else, then you're saying in essence that a corporation is a person. And I fundamentally don't agree with that, because if that were the case, then a poor corporation should be held accountable just like a person was. I've never seen a corporation tried for murder or anything along those lines.
Or how about pay taxes, at the very least?
Pay taxes like individuals. Yeah. But look, that's another topic for another day. But I do appreciate your time on the air. I want to get to some other people, Greg, and I want to give Donald a chance from WCPT in Oak Brook, Illinois, because I think Donald actually differs from you. So that's what speech is about, too, having differing points of view. So, Donald, welcome to the table.
How do you do that? Yeah, I just listened to him. And the thing is this type of business with Citizens United opening the door for that opens the door for people that for stuff that can cause a lot of problems for this country. Like, for instance, from what I understand, there was there is a lobbying group of the Aryan group committee or something that's in Washington. I mean, you got these people too. They can be financing into the these political campaigns, and we just leave the door open for a lot of other areas, like you mentioned, foreign people, all dictating what they want this country to do. And
right.
It's not a good thing at all.
No, and Donald, and the thing is, what I disagree with Greg is that he equates speech with money too. So where in the founding documents does it say that only wealthy people could buy, you know, airtime on commercials or radio advertisements? You know, the little guy doesn't have a chance. I mean, and that's where I feel that corporations and if he wants to bring in the labor unions, that's fine. But they have a disproportionate amount of influence for speech. Speech should be readily available to anyone. You shouldn't have to buy it. You shouldn't have to sell it. It should be readily available to all of our citizens.
Hence the term free speech.
Hence the term free speech. But there's nothing free about Citizens United. It's basically empowering those who are very wealthy with the opportunity to flood the airways with only their speech. That's like having a megaphone and basically, you know, saying, I'm going to go in and you have a megaphone and you could speak as loud as you want versus the other guy who's got no microphone, no nothing, and saying, oh, that's equivalent. You have equivalent speech. You don't.
No, that's true. And the thing is what really gets me is we'll send soldiers over to other countries so they can have free elections and fair elections, and we're doing this to us.
and this is what aggravates me. And that gentleman that was just on the phone with you, he's nothing but a right-winger. I could tell where his thinking was and how they all think alike, and they really make me sick. And you know what the problem is with this country? I know I realize a lot of the people in progressive radio say that America's catching on. They're not. And the truth of the matter is, what this country is we don't do anything till it lands on our doorstep. And that's what's going to happen. Well, and by that time, it's going to be too late.
I know. Well, we've got to stop being reactive. We need to be proactive. So I agree with you 100%, Donald. So, but listen, thanks a lot for your commentary. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, that's Donald there from WCPT in Illinois, Eric. But look, that's the bottom line as far as I'm concerned. Speech should not have to be that expensive. We talked about earlier the clean elections that we have here in Arizona. That way you're not susceptible to lobbyists and big money donors and people trying to dictate, you know, what you're supposed to be as a candidate. That way you can be the candidate you want to be in a clean election cycle. You don't have to take outside money. And then you really compete on ideas, on ideology, and principle. And hopefully that's where we're moving towards in America. It's, look, democracy is a slow, long thing, but it's happening. So listen, tag, you're it.
Listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, go to TomHartman.com.